to know who helped build the station.
We need to know what we can do to help, because we would certainly be available. We would encourage other labor organizations, labor leaders, to rally very firmly behind you all on this issue. This is, if you guys go down in this fashion, this is going to be a very dangerous precedent. That we can't allow this to happen.
Roger, I wanted you and the listeners to know that last week the Professional Staff Congress of CUNY called a breakfast meeting for labor. There were about 12 different local unions represented, a number of whom have signed on to statements opposing recent actions by WBAI and Pacifica, and that the mobilization is beginning.
And we should also say that the United Automobile Workers Union has also just signed on to a statement of support, the thrust of which is to rescind the firings, lift the bannings or suspensions as they are, and to return people to their jobs and return the station to where it belongs, and that is to free speech in the community. But
and I believe the Mason Tenders Union also, right, Panama?
Well, yeah, actually, the president and business manager of our local, Mike Hellstrom, presented a resolution in front of the District Council of Mason Tenders, and they, in fact, passed a resolution in support of the listeners of WBAI and the staff of WBAI, and we're looking forward to continuing supporting the struggle of the people against corporate America, which is, we need to say, is exactly what's taking place here. I mean,
well, Vicente Panama Alba, who's who you've just been hearing from, and we're going to get back to him in a moment. But one of the other things that I wanted to find out, Roger, is there is a possible strike looming in Queens of the private bus lines. Tell us what's been happening with that, and, of course, what we, similarly, in our listening audience, can do to support our sisters and brothers in the Transportation Workers Union.
We hope we can avoid a strike over there. What it is that we have expired contracts at several companies, such as Jamaica Bus, Triborough, Coach, Queen Surface, New York Bus as well. And we have contracts coming up for expiration in February on Liberty Lines and Westchester. Now, the companies have it's complicated by the fact that these bus lines operate on the basis of a franchises issued by the city council, by the mayor's office. So two things are happening. One is the mayor's office is only offering a one-year franchise, even though they have clearance to provide a three-year franchise. The expiration of a franchise raises the threat of companies being going out of business or new companies coming into existence, the bidding process and so forth. But also Giuliani has only has insisted on only a 2.5% increase set aside in for labor contracts. So the companies out there have taken the position that they're only offering what Giuliani is offering. In fact, they went a step further, and they are now making the ridiculous demand that we return the contributions made to our members' pension funds over there for the entire year of 1999 and 2000 on the basis, on the grounds that those pension funds are significantly overfunded. So as a result of that type of ridiculous stand that they have taken, that has brought the situation to a boil. We're in a situation where we have expired contracts and we operate on a day-by-day basis. We have reached out to the riders and to the public to explain the situation. Our union is trying to do everything that's reasonable to avoid a strike situation. We believe that these companies out there are in a position to offer certainly better than 2.5%. Our members, you should know, in Queen, these companies work for significantly less than than city drivers, bus drivers. One of our demands have been for parity with city drivers. So we are monitoring that situation very closely. We're working, reaching out to the public. We have a mass membership meeting coming up in about a week's time, and we will keep our friends in the labor movement posted and tuned as the situation changes and develops.
Well, definitely, because we certainly don't want a strike, but what we do want, absolutely and emphatically, is a decent contract,
right,
decent wages, decent benefits, and decent grievance procedures for our sisters and brothers, this time in the bus line. One last thing, Roger. One of the most onerous things has been from the Metropolitan Transportation Association, the way they have responded to the transit workers in terms of issues of discipline. How do you intend to make any headways in really the punitive and aggressive action that are habitually taken against transportation workers, yourself having been one of them?
Right. I mean, I believe that the data and statistics will show that there's a phenomenon in transit authority, just like we found out out in Jersey of members being targeted because of their nationality, in addition to all of the general harassment and so forth. Our members are literally faced with a river of discipline, torrent, a river of discipline that average over 16,000 per year. Disciplinary actions, which are close to one out of every two members being disciplined. As soon as we took office earlier this month, Transit Authority, despite our request to sit down and discuss the problems in the disciplinary arena, they scheduled 75 disciplinary cases for arbitration from January 2nd through January 5th to basically force us into the middle of this raging river. And they ignored our request. So as a result, we had to take our first steps to deal with this situation. We immediately terminated all the arbitrators who hear disciplinary cases in Transit Authority. These arbitrators are hired and paid on a 50-50 basis between the union and management, and I issued instructions to remove them in order to bring the situation, to begin to address the situation, and to reestablish some type of presumption of innocence for our members, some type of level playing field. So that has forced the situation to negotiation for changes needed in the disciplinary system. I think that we're going to be able, on the basis of pointing to verifying the pattern of retaliation, harassment, discrimination, that we're going to be able to surgically dismantle this entire disciplinary machine, Transit Authority.
I like that image of surgically dismantling authoritarian.
And when you're finished
management
with that, come on over here and help us out with that, okay?
Yeah.
Because we have the same thing.
Well, authoritarianism and undemocratic structure is never a healthy thing, and we must persevere. Roger Toussaint, as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you. We will follow the progress of either the resolution of the contract or continue to support our sisters and brothers in the bus lines in Queens and hope that they don't have a strike. And, of course, our listeners will hear more from our sisters and brothers in their support to rescind the firings here, lift the bannings, and make sure that a truly democratic process is established for the progress and development of WBAI. Roger Toussaint, it's always a pleasure.
All right, appreciate it. Bye, and you all can count on our support.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
Bye-bye.
Well, we have a gentleman here who certainly has been a friend for a long time to progressive peoples in a multiplicity of issues. And he is a field rep for the Laborers Local 108. And Ken and I usually go out to the Labor Day parade, and we see these long, long, aggressive-looking, I'm sure they're all cream puffs, but this aggressive-looking group of laborers.
You want to get us in trouble with the laborers' cream puffs? I mean,
that wouldn't happen. That wouldn't happen.
No, they are. They are. Indeed, the brother who was brought one of the my favorite things, which is the rat. The large rubber rat, there are many of them from 12 feet to 30 feet, which can be inflated, that are used at construction sites to show the might of labor against the abuses of management. It was actually brought down here by one of the brothers from the Laborers Local 108. But Ken, you and I...
for the rally last week.
Absolutely.
Right.
We always see these folks at Labor Day Parade. And it's been a long time since we've really figured out what are some of the issues, some of the concerns of our brothers and some sisters, more coming there in the Laborers Local. And with that, again, Vicente Panama Alba, welcome to WBAI.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I hope that that we could get to a place where we continue to have these types of programs and that WBAI continues to exist in the mission that it was set out to. I'd like to just clarify, we have to thank Brother Chaz from Laborers Local 79, who was the one that actually brought the rat that they helped him bring it down at the end, but he's the one that came.
He was a big husky-looking guy, but yeah, I'm telling you, Ken,
good guy, a real.
He was mellow underneath it.
I will make sure to tell him you think he was a real cream puff. I don't laugh about that.
See what you started me.
Oh, dear.
I mean,
he was a sweetie.
He's a very, very nice person. I'm a field rep for Laborers Local 108, and what we are doing is we are going out there to represent those who are already members of our local who work in the waste and the recycling industry, and going out there to organize those who have not yet been organized. It was funny, I was reading yesterday, Sunday Times, they had this long column about the failure of organized labor and how, in spite of it all, we seem to be shrinking, but... our local, we were chartered, it'll be 2 years in April, if I remember correctly, and, you know, we've grown by between 700 and 900 members. Having only two field reps as well as the business manager, we just expanded to have four field reps. And yet we've managed that kind of growth.
And who are your members?
Yeah, what exactly? I'm unclear about that.
Well, okay, people know the laborers mainly because we work in the construction trade.
Right.
And that's where I came from originally. But Laborers Local 108 works in behalf of workers in the private sanitation and the recycle industry. Talking about people who pick up the garbage, who are not from the Department of Sanitation. You see the trucks from Waste Management and IESI and BFI, Republic, Alamo.
Heavy, dirty, painful work.
Absolutely.
And ugly weather to do it in.
Whether the weather's nice or bad, whether, the economy is good or bad, garbage comes out every day. And they're the people that pick it up, people that transport it, and the people that have to sift through it and separate, garbage for recycling purposes. And one of the things is that the face of the workforce has changed from the days when sanitation was all on the municipal government. And the workforce is now mainly many immigrant workers. 75 to 80% of the workforce is immigrant.
75% now?
Yeah, that much. And actually, the corporate America and these multinationals have tried to really take advantage on their assumption that all of these workers are undocumented or illegal, as they like to call them, to exploit workers. And when we came into this scene, or at least when I came into this scene a couple of years ago, workers in the recycling lines were making $5.15 an hour, no benefits, no rights, really getting abused in the plants where they have to sift through garbage, plastics, bottles, newspaper, white paper, cardboard, etc. And we have been fighting very hard to raise the standard of living of that workforce, where today workers in that industry that were once making $5.15 are going to be making $9 an hour and have holidays and have sick days and have personal days on vacation time and union, good union representation that we go, we work very hard at.
You know, Panama,
that.
Ken and I did a piece on the morning show last week for Building Bridges where we were looking at going back to the Memphis garbage workers, which of course Martin Luther King had gone down to deliver his speech to at the time of his untimely and vicious demise. And at that point, Taylor Rogers, who was the head, who became the head of the Transportation Workers Union, one of the things that, of course, was...
The sanitation.
Right. What did I say?
Transportation.
I'm sorry. I still got Roger Toussaint
well,
on the
brain. Well, they did transportation.
You know, they certainly did.
Transported garbage.
But the sanitation workers then, of course, were all black, all African-American. They were not... the people who ran the machinery were white, but the people who actually did the pickups and sorting and so on were always people of color. But those very same people in Memphis helped break the back of the Jim Crow state at that time. So the whole issue of providing these essential and meaningful services and who provides them and the, what they suffer through is of such critical importance historically and currently in our society.
You know, it was a time when being a garbage man in the city of New York was a much desired job because of the salary, the benefits. I mean, many people have been put through college because their parents, their fathers in particular at that time, were sanitation workers. As the industry has been privatized, you know, and the workforce then shifts, these companies are looking to put people of color, primarily, in the lower portions of the pay scale, minimum wage, like I said before, little, no benefits in that type of situation. And we're looking to, and in fact, so far, been pretty successful at changing in those facilities where we've been able to win elections and get, you know, to become the representatives of the workforce there.
And you should know that you're listening to Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. And right now we're speaking with Vicente Panama Alba from the Laborers Local 108. And we will shortly be joined by Charlie Kernighan from the National Labor Committee.